Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
The world's most exciting podcast, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
I'm Michael Savage, host of the Savage Nation podcast, home of borders, language, and culture. Hear my new podcast each week as I speak with top guests from around the world. Right now, we have over 700 shows in our library, featuring interviews with world leaders, scientists, faith teachers, and more, including President Donald Trump, Prime Minister of Israel Ehud Barak, Edward Teller, the father of the hydrogen bomb, Jerry Falwell, and so much more. Conversations and commentary you cannot find anywhere else. Other guests have included Samuel Cohen, the father of the neutron bomb, Breitbart's Alex Marlow, the great author Peter Schweitzer, Colonel Douglas McGregor. Be here or be nowhere. The Savage Nation Podcast. Catch the Michael Savage Podcast on all podcast platforms every Tuesday and every Friday.
Welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Strictly Anonymous Podcast. Conversations with online strangers. We place ads online.
Craigslist is definitely the gift that keeps on giving.
Real people respond.
You go to Singapore or Thailand, you can't not do it. The temptation is just too much.
Real problems.
Does your friend know that you're banging her?
No, he has no idea.
And anything goes.
Motto of the show, let your Greek flag fly.
Probably the only good advice I'll ever give you is to rehide your whips and chain.
Here is your host, Kathy.
Hey, welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast with Kathy. If you haven't followed the Strictly Anonymous Podcast yet on Instagram and Twitter, follow me at Strict Anonymous. If you want to be on the show, it's called Strictly Anonymous because I change everyone's voices. You could also be on my show, Not Anonymous, too, if you're out and proud. That's cool. But if you have an interesting, naughty, true life story that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, you could be on the show. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. Now, listen, if you just have a naughty confession that you want to get off your back while remaining anonymous, I change the voices on my confessions that come into my confessions hotline, too. You can call my confessions hotline, and you could call that number 24/7. I do not pick up. That is just for people. A place where people could call and leave their confession. You have 4 minutes, leave a message. If you need longer, just call back. It's totally cool. I'll edit them together. I change the voices. The number is 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. Now listen, when you call that number, make sure you're calling from a quiet place. Do not call me from your car phone, okay, while you're driving. Hold the phone up to your ear like an old person does. And leave the message. That's the best way to get the best sound. Some of those confessions make it onto a Naughty Confessions episode, but all of them wind up on my Patreon. Now, my Patreon is a great place for just $5 a month. It's only $5 a month. You get everything that I'm going to tell you about. Okay, listen, you get all my episodes early and ad-free. And considering that I do five episodes a week now, that's a lot of fucking episodes, early and ad-free. You also get anonymous picks of all of my guests. Hot picks, R-rated picks. You also get Q&As where I answer personal questions. You get every confession that came into my hotline. There's over hundreds of them. You also get access to my Discord. Now listen, my Discord is a fun community. I've added channels over to that server many times because people just keep wanting me to add more. Now there's a hookup channel. There's a pics of guest channel. My guests go there and post some naughty pics of themselves. But what's great about Discord is you get to talk to each other and post things and DM each other and have conversations. So it really has become like a community of like-minded people. I love my Patreon. I have over 2,300 people on there. So if you want to be a part of my community over there, definitely join. It's only $5. It's going up to $7 a month, but that's still super cheap considering everything that you get. It's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. It's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. Now, each week I'm picking up repeats from the past once a week. I'm picking up a repeat from the past and re-editing it and redoing it and putting it back out there for all my new listeners who have never heard the episode. Today, I'm re-airing Scarlett's episode. Now, her episode is super interesting. She's from Australia. She's got that great Australian accent. I do have pics of her. Her and her boyfriend met while having an affair. They were having an affair. He wound up leaving his wife for her. Their cheating sex is kind of funny, where they wound up cheating while they were cheating with each other. Then they wound up together. They wound up having threesomes with people. She talks about how threesomes got put on the table, all the threesomes they had with women, with men, and everything that went down during them. The good, the bad, the ugly. There's been some feelings. There's been a lot of fun. It's definitely an interesting episode, how their relationship has gone down. It's a super interesting episode. I try not to give so much away in the description anymore because people have asked me not to do that. So I'm not gonna. You're gonna have to listen to the episode to hear all the details, but it's a great episode. If you want to see pictures of Scarlett, I do have them over on my Patreon. It's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. Anyway, I'm gonna be right back on with Scarlett.
This is the Strictly Anonymous Podcast.
Hey Scarlett, welcome to the Strictly Anonymous Podcast. How are you today?
I'm great, thank you.
So you're calling all the way from Australia, right? Now, I know that a part of your story is that you guys were like, during lockdown, I guess you and your guy that you're with now both broke up with your partners, but you were still living with your partners, but you guys started to hook up secretly, like kind of had an affair. And now you and your partner are starting to do all kinds of crazy things with each other that you've never done before. You have an open relationship. You've had a lot of threesomes, male, male, females, female, female, male ones, and all that kind of good stuff. Let me ask you a question. How did you guys know each other? Were you guys friends before while you were dating other people?
Yeah, we've been friends for about 5 years, I think. We're both in the entertainment industry. And I remember the first time I spoke to him, it felt kind of like I was speaking to my cousin or something. I immediately felt really familiar. And we were both married. I went through my divorce before he did. We're both not legally divorced yet, so it's very new. But I was kind of, I guess, breaking down, like, right before lockdown happened. We had sort of just separated.
Mm-hmm. Was he divorced, like getting divorced too, going into lockdown?
No, he was still hanging on to his marriage. When I heard his story, it was obvious to me that it was doomed, but he got kind of obsessed with me, I guess. I learned later on, but I had no idea at the time.
Did you start an affair with him when he was still married, totally and invested in that relationship?
Yeah.
Okay.
He definitely thought he wasn't going to leave his family. He thought that he would stay with his wife until his kids were old enough.
How did you start the affair? Like, how do you cross that line?
He started chatting to me on Messenger, and he said that he had been out on a camping trip and gone out in the canoe and taken acid and gone on this big trip on the lake, and all he'd seen was me.
Interesting.
And that he had some revelation that we need to hook up, and I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
And it was all very innocent and cute until we both had a gig together, and after the show, he walked me back outside, and I can tell he was sort of wanting to talk a bit more, but he was just silent for a second, and he said, okay, bye, and he leaned forward and kissed me and then stayed there for a little bit too long. And that moment, it was undeniable that there was flirting happening. So from there, he started inviting me out to go places. I met him at a park after his work Christmas party. He had just put his wife in a taxi sent her home, and apparently, well, I learned later, and then went and met me. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time that he made his move. He made the whole dive for a kiss and stuff. And after that, he dragged me into the public toilets at the park, and we were groping and getting really heavy. Mm-hmm. And I remember it going through my head. I can tell he would fuck me if I let him right now.
Yeah.
And I didn't really indicate that that was happening, and he was too polite to do anything about it. But, but I could tell he really wanted to. So as we walked off, I said, I would have done it. and that drove him absolutely crazy for the next 6 weeks after that.
And then when did you eventually do it?
So I was getting divorced, and my parents were really worried about me, so they flew me home, and he was messaging me like 2-3 times a day.
So that's why it took 6 weeks for you guys to hang out, because you weren't even available for him.
Yeah, yeah.
After that time in the park, right? Oh my God, that's kind of perfect.
Yeah, yeah. But I didn't even really understand it, though. So before this, I had only ever been with one guy, and I was kind of just thinking it was a game. Like, I was sending him, like, sexy photos and stuff. And then I came back to where we live now, and he came over. He came into my room. We fucked around. I am very good at blowjobs, he tells me. I didn't ever know this before. My husband never told me anything about it, like whether I was good or bad.
Yeah.
Like, obviously you like them, but we're taught that all guys like blowjobs. Mm-hmm. Duh. But it wasn't until I got with my boyfriend now that I find out that I'm actually like a super fucking queen at blowjobs.
Oh my God,
and
that's
that
awesome.
Everyone's really impressed by them. So I did my thing, and then so during it I was blowing him, and he is like twitching and sort of his whole body sort of tensing and stuff, and he's like breathing real heavily. He's, what do you do to me, and saying all this weird stuff. And he came really super fucking hard, and he told me later while that was happening, he said he was thinking, is this what chicks feel like when they come? Like,
right.
Like his whole body. He said he'd never felt anything like that before. Oh, he was having a seizure pretty much. And then he came really hard. And then he flips me over and starts going down on me like he's deep sea diving. Like he's going for it. Like he's just, and I thought I was the one that was losing my mind. I was just like, oh, like freaking out. And then we finish and he looks up. And he sort of looks up a little bit, and we both have the same vape, the same little portable
yeah.
vape. So I had mine sitting on my bedside table, and he looks up and he says, oh, did I bring my vape? And I said, no, that's mine. And he said, what? Do you have one too? And I was like, yeah, you told me to buy it. And he was like, wait, what? Wait, what? And then he goes, what day is it? And I said, I thought he was joking. I said, it's Tuesday. And he was like, what day is it? And I said, it's Tuesday. And he sort of starts like freaking out and picking out his phone and like scrolling through all his messages and like looking really panicked. And he looks at me again and he said, what day is it? And then I knew
something
was going on. I was, like,
yeah.
I was like, what the fuck, dude? I don't know. And so then my phone rings, and it's my daughter's school saying she's sick and I have to go and pick her up.
Oh, my God.
Oh, and also, I forgot to say that I kicked my ex-husband out of the house. This is during lockdown. I kicked my ex-husband out of the house for the day.
I know you dig hot stories. That's why you're here listening to my show, right? I always try to get you the hot details. But I'm going to tell you, if you want strictly hot stories, then you need to download the Dipsy Stories app. Dipsy is an app full of hundreds of short, sexy audio stories. No matter what you're into or what turns you on, Dipsy has something for you. Whether you're into queer stories or straight stories, they got straight up hookup stories, stories about threesomes, foursomes, moresomes, Everything you want is on Dipsy. They also have sleep stories, wellness sessions, and written stories too, if that's your thing. And they also have what I love most about Dipsy, which is their jump to the action button. So if you're super horny and you want to get right to it, you just press a button and it's going to take you right to where the action starts. So what are you waiting for? Go get Dipsy now. And for listeners of my show, Dipsy is offering an extended 30-day free trial when you go to dipsystories.com/strictlyanon. That's 30 days of full access for free when you go to dipseastories.com/strictlyanon, dipseastories.com/strictlyanon, or just go to the description and click on the link for 30 days of free access. You have nothing to lose. It's free. Go check out Dipsy. Good news, Strictly Anonymous Podcast is looking for people to call into the show. So if you lead an interesting, naughty secret life that you want to talk about while remaining anonymous or not anonymous, if you're out and proud, that's cool too. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. That's strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com. Or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a short confession that you want to get off your back, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. I change all the voices on the confessions too, so you remain anonymous. The number, the website, and the email address will all be in the description.
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call, you talk to one of them, they stay anonymous, I can't hang up, that's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today, Beautiful Anonymous.
Yeah, I was wondering that before when you said that. So you're stuck with this guy. He's in the middle of having something seriously wrong with him, but you now have to leave because there's an emergency with your child.
Yeah. So, but I couldn't just, I told the nurse at the school that I was stuck in traffic or something and I would get there as fast as I could.
Yeah.
But like this guy was having this like mental breakdown on my bed in my house where my ex-husband's about to get home. And so... so he starts pacing around. So I finally, it occurs to me to Google it. And the first thing that comes up is this thing called transient global amnesia. Mm-hmm. And everything on the list was exactly what he was doing.
Right.
Like every single thing.
Right.
So it's a form of amnesia that causes your brain to forget things over the last 24 to 48 hours.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So he still knew who I was. He knew where he was.
He knew who he was. He just didn't remember how he got there.
And the, yeah, and the excuses that he gave to his boss and his wife.
None of that.
And all that kind of stuff. So, so yeah, he had this really, really uncomfortable flip out, and I'm trying to gauge whether I should call the ambulance. And I was having visions in my head of me first meeting his wife in the hospital.
Oh my God, you're right. Yeah.
But yeah, he kind of gathered himself enough for him to, he called his friend who he was supposed to be meeting after and got filled in a little bit. So he got his bearings a little bit, but I still had to send him off in his car. Like he just lost his mind, but I had no choice. Like I had to go and get my kid and he couldn't be seen with me.
Like you're in a really weird position, right? For sure. Cause you're like, how the fuck, what if he doesn't know how to get home? Right? Like you're not a doctor. You don't know how far that brain mess up is going to go. It's scary for sure.
Yeah. Oh, he could have driven off the bridge for all I knew. Like I was so scared that I had sent him off to his death. Yeah. You know, he lost his fucking mind. I've never seen anything like this before.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy.
It was pretty insane.
Yeah, that was so interesting. I totally forgot about that aspect of the story because I remember your guy actually emailed me first about that whole situation. But, you know, you guys, like I said, have all this interesting stuff that comes after that. That's one part of it that I've never heard before. But what I think is interesting is that eventually he leaves his wife for you and you guys start dating. And currently, because this all must happen fast, right? Because I know that you've had threesomes. You guys are both living in an open relationship together. How does it go from him?
Yeah, open with rules.
With rules, right, of course, which is the way it should be. But how do you go from him cheating on his wife to him leaving her for you?
Well, she was abusive to him. And I think he was just denying it because he's such a good dad. Like, he loves his kids so much. And that was the thing that was keeping him there.
Yeah.
And I think the first time we fucked in the morning, like, that was the first time I ever did anal. That was the first time I fucked anyone on drugs. That was the first time I did so much stuff.
Right.
That was the first time after I had fucked someone, I came out after I went to pee. I came out and he held his arms out to me and said, "Come here." That was the first time anyone had ever wanted to cuddle me after I had sex.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And that fucked me up a little bit. So it was so hard to see each other during COVID because we were both locked in with our exes. He hadn't broken up with her, but he was continuing this really intense thing with me the whole time. We had
to organize.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there was a time when he had a friend of his who also knew me, but he didn't tell the friend who I was because it would get out what he was doing. But he said that we could use his garage.
Oh my God, cheating sex is so funny, the places people cheat. I always like when people are in cars in a parking lot, but this is now you're in a friend's garage.
Yeah. Well, he also had a different friend's car. So he got a different friend's car. I caught the train. He picked me up and drove me to a mutual friend who I had to hide from his garage downstairs under his house. So he pulls us in there. He had some drinks. He had some weed. He lay a towel down on the floor. And like he was making this big deal about, oh, look, he's left us a stool and dusting it off and stuff. And then we start and it's the wildest sex I've had in my life. We dented the car bonnet. He had me on there. He fucked me standing up. He picked me up. He was spinning around. It was insane. And then he wanted to go outside for a cigarette break. And so we went out there, all hiding behind things because it was COVID and illegal to be outside. And then we were walking back in and he remembered the number of his friend's house and realized we were in the wrong garage.
Oh my God, hilarious. You were in a stranger's house.
We were
house.
In a stranger's garage. Yeah, having full-on porn
oh
star
my God,
sex.
That's
like
great.
Full-on. And he started shitting himself. And he was like, oh, my God, we're in the wrong garage. And I was so pissed that I was just laughing my head off. Pissed me.
Yeah,
drunk.
Yeah, and high from sex. And high from all that good sex. You get high from that kind of shit, right?
Yeah, you're like, yeah. I didn't care because he sort of takes on a role of making sure everything's fine for me. So I just kind of submit into relaxing and just he's got it all under control and I'm on this wild ride with him. So he's freaking out and I'm laughing my head off and he backs out. He snaps the antenna of his friend's car, like freaking out, and then backs into the right garage and then we just carry on.
Oh my God, awesome. So you obviously have like amazing chemistry. You're both in the same boat. He's ready to leave. I have to say, there's one thing about guys that I notice is that like a lot of times guys won't leave a bad situation. Like women will leave a guy with nobody on the other side. They'll walk away solo. But a lot of guys stay in a bad marriage until they find someone else because they just can't be alone. And so a lot of times when a guy does leave, it's because he has somebody else in the wings. And that's probably why.
I think especially when they have kids, though, especially when the guy has kids. I think the guys are fed this thing about the kids needing their mom, even if she's a bitch.
Yeah.
Like, they still want to keep the kids with their mom. That was his whole thing. He didn't want to break his kids'
heart. Of course, no. Until I had kids, I didn't understand that mentality. Listen, some people still have to do it, and they do it, but I get feeling that guilt and that your action and your leaving for yourself is what that's going to do to your child, for sure. So he leaves his wife, though.
Yeah.
He did, because things with you were just so great and so much better. So he took that step.
Well, I kind of put my foot down a little bit. I started getting, our meetups were getting more and more, like, they were just sort of seedy, I guess. I would come into the city in the middle of this ghost town in COVID. There's no one around, and I've got a bag on my head or something, and crawling into a garage like a cockroach.
Yeah.
And it just started feeling really gross, even though it was fun.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
So I texted him one time after one of the worst ones, where I had to wait for an hour for the train, and there was all these like homeless people coming up to me, and like it was not fun. And I said, I just want to know what you want out of this or something. And he started freaking out, and he was crying and saying he was definitely going to leave his wife and all that. But like, we're hardened to only believe it when it happens. And I think it was the next day, something, he called me and he said, I've left her. And I think it was such a shock that I wasn't even happy at first, because I wasn't ready for it.
I can see that.
But at the same time, it was really exciting, because the sex is off the charts, like crazy off the charts. He pledged his loyalty to me for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe it's because of a blowjob.
No, but you guys were friends. You had a lot, like, I don't know. You had a friendship for 5 years before. It wasn't like it was just the sex. You guys had other things going on. You were obviously compatible as friends, because you were friends for a long time, right?
Yeah.
You knew each other and you had that. And now you have this intense chemistry. Now, how do you guys start? Were you just like talking about kinky things with each other? Like, how do you start figuring out that you guys are both on this page to open your relationship up?
Well, I have always been a bit of a closeted freak in my spare time, because the sex with my ex was so bad that I was just getting myself off all the time and watching porn.
Yeah.
And this video that I watched, it was about a guy on his birthday, and they brought two chicks in there while he was asleep. Like, maybe some people have seen this. I don't know. It's a very popular one. And they just wake him up with fucking squatting over his face and fucking his dick. And he was like, "Wah!" And I thought it was hilarious and hot and stuff.
Yeah.
And so his birthday was coming up, and I said, "What do you want for your birthday?" And he was like, "I don't know." And I think, kind of jokingly, I said, "Do you want a threesome?" And he looked at me and he was like, "What?" And started giggling and like carrying on. And I didn't know it would have that effect on him. Like, and I kind of liked it. So I was like, "Yeah, I'll give you a threesome." And then he started expanding on that. And he was like, "Well, if you're going to give me a threesome, then I'm going to give you a threesome. Like, you can bring a guy in. Actually, that's my favorite kind of threesome. I've watched that kind of porn my whole life. I love the MMF threesome." And I was like, I was mind blown. I didn't know that any straight guy would want a multiple dude threesome.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But he was all about it. Like, he read up on it. Like, he knew about how when there was other guys in the room, your testosterone levels raise, and like, you get way more like aggressive and stuff. Yeah, it was mind blowing to me.
So which one did you do first?
The first one, we went on just some of the websites. Like, he straight away made a profile for both of us, and we started getting hit up. And we were just kind of learning. That's how we found your podcast, actually, because we were like researching, and we listened to some books, and we read The Ethical Slut, and we found
that.
You, and I've listened to heaps of your podcasts, which is probably why I found it really weird and nervous at the beginning. And just to get other people's feelings on it all.
Yeah.
And I think we were like just really majorly hit on by this couple from the website who had these okay looking photos. Like we could kind of tell that they were a bit older than us and maybe a little bit chubbier than us and stuff. But we were just so desperate to lose our V card that we just said, yeah, okay, come over. And they came over and they were fully like maybe 2-3 points less than what their photos made them out to be.
Oh, they were worse.
Yeah. So being the nice people we are, we just rolled with it and we got along. We had some drinks and everyone calmed down and we were just like, oh, well, let's just muck around. And so we all went into the bedroom and, oh, I'd never seen a, what's it called? The thing that like pinches off their cock, like the, like a rubber band around it.
What do you mean? A cock ring?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'd never seen one of those before.
Uh-huh.
He had one of those on.
How old were these, was the couple, do you know? Were they in their 40s?
Late 40s.
Okay. So they weren't that attractive. Were their bodies good?
Nah.
Okay.
That was the main problem.
Oh, okay. So, but you wind up sleeping with them?
No. So my boyfriend couldn't get it up that night.
I wonder why.
I think, well, mostly that. But I think it was also all the nerves and the pressure and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's a lot easier for girls in those situations because we can just get drunk and do whatever and it doesn't matter. That was our first time and that kind of threw him off a bit, I think.
Mm-hmm. So nothing what happened? Nobody fooled around with anybody?
Oh, no. I fucked him off. Like, they dripped, like, candle wax all over me.
Mm-hmm.
So they put me down on the bed and dripped all this, like, glowing candle wax all over me. And he joined in with that. And he kind of got it going. Like, he went down on me and then invited the other guy to come and do it. So the other guy came and started going down on me, and then I think she was kind of more interested in me than him,
mm-hmm.
which was weird.
Well, maybe she was into girls, so she was there for you more so.
They had on their profile that they were really into doming a girl.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they were trying to make that happen without really making it clear that that's what they were doing.
Yeah.
So I realized all this after.
Yeah, yeah.
Because during, I just had my eyes shut and it felt amazing. And I didn't know whose hands were whose and whose mouth was whose. And so I didn't realize that he wasn't even involved a lot of the time. So afterwards, I felt pretty bad about it. But I don't blame myself because I didn't know.
Bad about what? What did you feel bad about?
About my boyfriend not being able to participate as much as he would have liked to.
You felt bad about having too good of a time with everybody while he was just like stuck there without a heart on?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was the center of attention and he was over in the corner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's not a cuck.
Yes, I get it. Uh-huh.
And he wasn't particularly into the other woman, but he was being a trooper. He was being a team player and he still went down on her and stuff. And oh my God, he describes it like she looks down and she goes, do you mind if I squirt? And he was like, no. And he starts for 2 minutes and she's just all over his face.
Oh my God.
And he was like, my hair was wet, like everything.
Oh my God.
Like, how the fuck do you do that? Yeah. It was a really weird experience, but they left. The sex was amazing.
That's what people say.
Between us.
Mm-hmm.
I'd heard that, but I don't think I expected the actual feeling of it. Like, it was off the fucking charts. It was crazy.
Right.
And after that, we were, like, hell-bent on trying to find some hot people.
Uh-huh.
that he could actually get it up for. We went to a swingers club a little while away from where we live, and it was kind of gross, and there wasn't really many people there, and it was just like creeps hanging around the door trying to peer in and see stuff, and middle-aged men with no women there.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a bust. And I think the next time we did something was we met a guy. So my boyfriend speaks a different language, and we fluently, he did like an exchange thing when he was young, so he's really fluent, bilingual. And we met a guy who is fluent in that language, and I thought it would be really hot if they spoke in the other language and I couldn't understand them. And they really bonded over chat, and he came over and they were speaking about me in this other language the whole time. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't understand them, and it was so hot. Oh my God. I was like, yeah, it was one of my favorites, even though he wasn't really the hottest guy either.
Mm-hmm.
He was younger, but like he kind of looked like he would have a hot body before he took his shirt off, and then he had, yeah. it wasn't a hot body. You know how men can kind of hide it? And then again, my boyfriend couldn't really get it up as hard as he wanted to. So he was starting to kind of get a head fuck about it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we went to the club next, it was a slow night and there was only like a few guys and like one girl there. And so they were all talking to me and we didn't do anything. But when we got home, he was kind of whinging about it, like moaning and saying, like, oh, I brought this girl in, like I brought a hot girl in and no one's talking to me and no one's paying me any attention and I'm not having a good time. And I felt bad, but also knew it wasn't my fault. But the next time we went back, I kind of made it a mission to get him attention.
Mm-hmm.
So he wouldn't come home all sad back again. And we were in the spa and this couple swam up to us and the husband was like asking if the girl could put her hands on me and stuff like that. And so it started from the first time we got there. I said no to that.
Mm-hmm.
But we went into, there's this big room in the middle of the club with beds everywhere, and we lay down there and that girl from the spa showed up, and I was a bit drunk and I had my mission in my head, so I just told her to sit on his face. So mm-hmm. she did, and that was fun. I just watched that for a bit. I had my period, so I just kind of laid there a mm-hmm. little bit. Guys don't really care that much if you've got a tampon in. They'll do other stuff, even if they can't fuck you.
You're right, of course.
And while that was happening, a guy came up and started going down on me. And I remember pulling his head up and saying, there's a tampon in there. And he was like, I don't care. Oh just kept going. It was bizarre. Yeah. And then afterwards, we were just about to go, and I was sitting in the front room right by the front door with a lot of the people milling around. I tend to be really sort of reclusive in these big party situations.
Mm-hmm.
And unless someone engages me, I'm not like, I'm at a party. So I'm sitting in the corner, and then some girl walks up to me and sits down right next to me and leans in, and the first thing she says to me is, are you bi? And I looked up and I thought, oh, she's pretty cute and she's young and she's got a hot body and shit. And I said, well, no, but whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so she starts kissing me, and I just thought, fuck it. And I said, do you want to come and help me fuck my boyfriend? And she was like, yeah, okay. And so she walked up and left. And then my boyfriend came and found me and said, come and suck me off in the main room. So I walked with him into the main room and we were sort of fooling around. And then she just walks up and sits down and starts talking to me. And after the fact, I learned that my boyfriend didn't realize that I'd already met her.
Right.
I thought he was in the room when she came up, but he wasn't. So in his mind, this hot chick had just walked up out of nowhere and starts like macking on me without really saying anything. And so his head is exploding, like he's going crazy, thinking like, oh my God, it's on. And I just sort of gestured to him and I said, go for it. And so we were on the bed in the main room. At the time, I was like, I'm so new. I didn't realize that we could have just got up and gone into a private room, mm-hmm. which we should have done. But we stayed in the main room. And he got to it. He went to town. She did lots of stuff to me. She was like going down on me, and she was always constantly complimenting me and hands on me and stuff. But he didn't do anything to me. He was just zoned on her. Mm-hmm. He was like fucking her like crazy. He was like, he asked her if he could choke her, slap her and all this shit, like full on just them. And all the meanwhile, there's other dudes like walking up out of the darkness, like trying to get me to put my hand on their dick and stuff. And I didn't really want to.
That's so funny.
At the same time, I was definitely, I call it like in porn, it's like the chick in the corner, the chick that like has to be off to the side, like licking someone's balls or whatever, and not really involved.
Yeah.
And that's what I felt like. And he ended it like it was a big moment for him. There was a big crowd of all these guys. Like the whole place had closed and they weren't kicking us out because they were so enthralled by what we were doing. And he ended by coming on both our faces and then got her number, which she got in big trouble for, because that's a big no-no in swingers clubs.
Oh,
you
really?
Can't swap numbers. Yeah, well, at least around here. You can't swap numbers because that means that you won't go back to the club again. You'll just hook up by yourself. So he got her number and then we went home and he was like, oh my God, that was so great. I'm so happy. Oh my God, I'm the king of the world. And I was riding on his high. I was like, yeah, that was fun. But it wasn't until the next day, I think, so I started realizing that actually I'd gotten zero attention. Mm-hmm. And I just lay there and watched him fuck her really hard. And I kind of started to feel shitty about it. And I think I had some drinks the next night. And when we were going to sleep, I just burst into tears. I was like crying my eyes out. And he asked me what was wrong. And I told him it's because, yeah, I sourced this hot girl for him to fuck. And I was just out of the picture. And once he realized, he was devastated. I think he just went into this state. He didn't know what was going on. He hyper-focused on what was in front of him and forgot everything else. Well, that's how he described it.
Mm-hmm. You just sort of jumped into the deep end here, right? You guys didn't discuss or think it through. You were just so horny and excited to be doing all these things, right? You were just doing them without really having a conversation about what your boundaries are, if there's going to be rules, how you're going to feel about it. So you're doing it kind of backwards, but you realize at that moment that you didn't feel right about that scenario the way it went down. And I'm sure he didn't mean for it to be that way either. He had his feelings in the beginning when he wasn't getting attention, and now you're having issues because it's all new to you. I mean, swinging and opening up a relationship is not, these are the kinds of things that come up.
Yeah, well, I think, and also that confirmed to me that I am definitely not bi at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can roll with it. I can go with a vibe if it's happening, but it kind of just feels like nothing. Like, it doesn't have that spark. Like, when it's
you're
with
a man.
Guy. It doesn't feel gross, but it doesn't feel amazing either.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, but I was really honest with him about it, and he was really devastated that that happened without him realizing, of course. So
yeah.
The next thing he did was arranged for the hottest guy he could find to come over
and have sex with you.
And yeah, we'll have a threesome with another guy.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy was quite young. He was, God, must have been like 23 or something, like really young. But he was into it. Like, we met him at the club too.
Yeah.
He watched us that first time, so obviously he was interested. And I think I just walked up and I was like all in my sex drunk haze. And I just said, "You're really cute." And he goes, "You're gorgeous." And that was it. And then we exchanged numbers. And then I was like, "Well, how about this guy?" So my boyfriend invited him over. And the same thing happened again. My boyfriend couldn't get it up properly again. But he's able to kind of carry it off a bit. Like, he can do other stuff and he can kind of like squish it in there, and then after it's in there it'll get hard. But we did that. But the guy at the time, we have of course have a rule of any other guy, or if there's another girl here, then the guys wear condoms.
Right.
But this guy was doing all the foreplay stuff and going down on me and stuff, and shoved it in without one on, like in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my eyes closed. I was just off my head. And I heard my boyfriend yelled out, "Are you wearing a condom, man?" And the guy looked up and was like, "Oh," like he was shocked that he was getting told off. And he goes,
"Yeah,
that's not cool." And so he pulled out and went and got one. But my boyfriend's theory was that he probably didn't put one on because he's one of those guys that loses his heart on when he puts the condom on. Because after he put one on, then he had to do all this other stuff, go down on me and fool around again before he could fuck. So
yeah.
I think that was it. And because he was so young.
No, listen, it's because most people don't like to wear condoms and they're not used to it and they don't like it. And I think a lot of people are like that, because it always blows my mind how many people don't use condoms. People who do. It's just it's common. It's not like he's the minority. I think the minority are the people who do use condoms. I was always a condom person because I'm like a hypochondriac. So I would always say that's the kind of best person to be with, because they're going to be the same way. But a lot of people will say fuck it to the condom. A lot of people don't use them because it doesn't feel so good. So he just probably wasn't used to it. So
yeah. He
then put the condom on, and then you guys did it and everything was cool?
Yeah, he let him keep going, which I'm surprised about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he did end up, my boyfriend did end up getting really hard and fucked me really hard, and I came like crazy in front of this other guy. I think this other guy probably would have sucked my boyfriend's cock if he asked him to. He was like that way inclined. He was like grabbing his hand like while they were both fucking me and stuff. I think he was a little bit hoping that would happen, but my boyfriend's not bi at all, same as me. But he's very comfortable being naked around other guys. He doesn't care about that. And after the last thing we did, which is the very last thing, was I invited that girl back to our house, the one from the club.
The young girl, the cute girl.
Paying attention to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she'd been texting me the whole time and giving me compliments and stuff. And so I didn't feel weird about her. It was just how he behaved.
Yeah.
So I was fine with her. So I invited her over, and I was kind of wanting to face what scared me the most, I think. And so she came over and we had lots of fun, but the mistake was that I put on the playlist of songs that were like me and my boyfriend songs, and then she gave everybody acid, so we were all tripping, and in that state, hearing those songs, lying next to her on the bed while he's fucking her and hearing her moaning in my ear, and it did these weird things to my head. Like, I got these weird flashbacks and weird feelings about it at the time. But what do you say when they're like mid fuck and you're all fucked off your head? I'm not gonna call safe word, that's just, that feels like a dick move at the time. So the next day I was all confused about it, but I figured it out. It was just because I was sort of coming down, I guess. And I didn't really have him around. He was with his kids, so I didn't have him around. So it was almost like I was the third without being the third. So now I feel fine about it. And I think I would do it again. But I don't get anything out of the extra girl. I think it's okay. I like the compliments and stuff, but...
It's not for you. You're doing it more for him. But let me ask you this. Now, you are together. Do you guys live together now? Are you out of the your other houses and are you guys living together?
Yeah, we live together.
Okay. And your other partners have moved on. You're fully divorced. You're with each other. And so now, have you had conversations with each other about maybe establishing some like rules and regulations just so that you guys can navigate it better in the future so that there aren't these weird feelings? Or, I don't know, do you communicate a lot about it afterwards?
Yeah, we do. We have a few rules. Nothing escalates while the other person's out of the room. So if you're like making out, you can't switch bases while you're out of the room. That's one of the rules.
Yeah.
No separate rooms. The other person has final say when it's their gender. The extra is their gender. And if anyone's uncomfortable, then it's off. But we haven't really got into all these little intricate things that you don't know are there until you start doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we've got basic rules and we talk a bit.
Right.
I was listening to one of your podcasts before about the longer a couple is together before they start doing this, the more successful they're going to be.
Uh-huh. That's not always true. Look, you guys are successful.
I hope so. We've done a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and it's not like it's ruining your feelings for him, right? You're just finding out that like things don't work for you, but it's not like you're blaming him or anything. You sound like you're very in tune with where it's coming from and what's going on, and you still want to continue to do it, but you just keep talking to each other about it and always communicate. I think it's very important, and it's realistic to assume that these things will come up. It's not always perfect. A doctor guy and his girl who just got engaged, they have a very open relationship. And sometimes there are issues because girls go after him too much. And she's very as open-minded as they could come. Mm-hmm. But sometimes things are going to come up when you have other people involved. And you just have to just remain very talkative with your partner about it and really keep everything on the table. So you don't start resenting the other person because that's where you're going to get into trouble. But I don't consider you guys not successful at opening up your relationship. What I want to know is like at the end of the year, when I do my end of year wrap up, let's see what has gone on since. I think you guys will just get better at figuring out what works and what doesn't. But it seems that both of you guys are down and you're not having that bad of a problem with it. Like little feelings here and there, but it sounds like it's working for you guys. And thank you so much for calling in. Good luck with everything.
Thank you, Kathy. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode. If you want to be on the Strictly Anonymous podcast because you have an interesting, naughty story to tell while remaining anonymous, you could be on the show. Send me an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, or go to my website, strictlyanonymouspodcast.com, and click on Be on the Show. If you have a naughty confession, call my confessions hotline, 347-420-3579. That's 347-420-3579. You could call that number 24/7. If you want to follow the show, follow me at Strict Anonymous on either Instagram or Twitter. That's at Strict Anonymous. And if you want to sign up for my Patreon, you're not only supporting my show, but you're going to get all of these episodes early and ad-free. You're going to get anonymous pics of all of my guests. Most of the girls send me in anonymous hot pics of themselves, and some of the guys are sending me in anonymous pics as well. You also get access to my private Discord where people are getting super naughty. If you sign up for my Discord, you could post whatever you want and talk to my other listeners. To sign up for my Patreon, just go to patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. That's patreon.com/strictlyanonymouspodcast. The links and everything else I spoke about are all in the description. Thanks so much for listening.
Do you have a story? lifestyle, or situation you can't talk about to anyone? Or do you just want to let your freak flag fly and be on the show? Well, Strictly Anonymous wants to hear from you. Send us an email, strictlyanonymouspodcast@gmail.com, with your story and your anonymous name. And remember, everything is strictly anonymous. Strictly Anonymous.